Welcome to Light Being Found. My love Jason was in the U.S. Army. 20 days after I found him, I started documenting my journey through video and audio recordings. Join me as I share my journey as a suicide loss survivor, from struggling to find the light to light being found. Hello, loves. Welcome back. This is season one, episode 5, Finding the Light, Light Being Found, Suicide Loss Survivor Podcast, Documented Journey. Thank you for joining me today. So in today's episode, I landed on my next video. When I share videos in the episodes, I'm going to edit them minimally. Sometimes there'll be background noise, apologies. In this video, you can hear Jai's little feet pouncing around everywhere, and it just brings me a lot of joy. In the last video, episode 4, you could hear Doja, my cat, meowing in the background. So I am getting lovin's when I'm unfolding and opening up my journey, because Doja passed away in 2017. She was 18, had a very amazing life. And then Miss Jai, she was almost 15. And as you know already, she just left about 10 weeks ago now. So it's very comforting to get to hear them in the background as well. But plus, there's a lot of emotion happening too. So I also don't want to edit out silences where you can actually see me processing. So if you want to check out the video version of the podcast, head over to @lightbeingfound on YouTube. It's also under the podcast on YouTube and also Spotify as well. All right. In today's episode, I start out with talking about just having a sad spasm. And I almost cracked up a little bit when I started playing it, because I'm like, wow, I had termed this early in my journey. And I didn't actually, the reason why I was thinking about it like that, because I didn't actually share what was going on in my life with a lot of people other than my close immediate loves of my life until 6 months after Jason had left. So like I shared, I had made my first post. It was like a blanket post to everybody, all of my friends, everyone on social media, everywhere. I sent them an invite and it was about my post. And my post also really was centered around my grieving at that time, which had to do with this being a loss of my partner who was in the military, and this was a military suicide. So it was really centered around sharing about milicide, which is military suicide, and also discussing the 1 in 22, which that number, that is incorrect. Far more are affected by that number, not just from the veteran side of things, but from their loved ones. There's also a journey that many suicide loss survivors are trekking to where they're not wanting to be here themselves as well. And unfortunately, some of them do leave Mother Earth. So that 1 in 22 is not accurate in my taking of the number. But anyways, my post, it's milicide. And then I also, in one of my recordings that I shared on my post, because I made a website, it was milicide.com, which I don't have anymore because I've really grown in my evolution of understanding that it's unresolved trauma that causes one to want to leave, and that there's a lot of trauma that happens in many different professional fields when they're out in the field. And it's commonly known statistically, and so soldiers, soldiers, our military is known that's the top way that they leave life is they take their own life. The branch of the army, 2 times greater than any other branch, but then also our first responders. So that is our firemen and women, our paramedics, our police officers. And so it's these fields where there's just so much trauma that you're also seeing out in the field, and that you have to tend to it and work through it and do inner work on being able to process those things and then to let them flow out and tend to yourself with love and with healing. And if you're going through those motions and you still have unhealed and unresolved trauma within yourself that you've buried from your own life experiencing, for me, I feel like there's just a compounding effect. So I definitely look at suicide a little bit different from how I initially was feeling when I made the post, because I was just so emotional. And I do feel still, though, that a lot of the emotions that he was going through are attributed to his time as a soul dyer in the military. And military suicide was part of his journey for me, and some of the things that he was emotionally working through, that he couldn't get back to a place of common ground within himself, of being in a acceptable state of energy moving forward and what to do with his life and finding meaning and purpose and a bunch of other stuff that I'm sure I will touch on down the road in other podcasts. But I wanted to pull up real quick a couple of these words that I termed. All right, so the first word is milicide, and that's military suicide. It's the act of taking one's own life voluntarily and intentionally in reference to soul dyers or the armed forces, such as the Army, Navy, Marines, and Air Force. And then the other word that I had defined on page one of the website was love spasms, a sudden and often involuntary emotional, temporary burst of energy, activity, reaction, or feeling that is brought on by a profound loss of life from one deeply loved. Yeah. And so I did go ahead and define love spasms, but it was a little bit further in my journey. So when I had shared, I'm having this sad spasm, I immediately just had an emotion regarding it. But in this video, I cut out a few different parts. There's a large part of the video where I'm talking about how not only am I being affected mentally and physically and emotionally, I'm also being affected literally in the physical sense by all of the stuff that is everywhere and me trying to figure out like how to maneuver and what to move out or to keep and what to do with things, and that how it's literally all over the place. And a lot of these things were like special gifts that I'd given him over the years, and they just came with emotion walking by them every time. And so I did not include that part of the video, but I touched on it really quickly. I segue from that to being back into the kitchen, and there's a part of it where kind of like in episode 3 where I'm showing my first video and I was stuck in the kitchen for 1.5 hours and making coffee, you know, there's a realization that there's a, in this type of a loss, there's a lot of secondary losses in a lot of different ways. And one of them is the habitual repetition of like the, you could call it mundane, but the day-to-day interactions and habitual part of the day. And a lot of that for me and our dynamic had to do with being in the kitchen and cooking. The way that Jason loved people, his love language was cooking for you, and he loved it. He, you know, I really feel like love is an ingredient, and you can just feel that amazing energy sparking up your taste buds when you're eating something that was created with that intention and that dedication and that love and that appreciation of the ingredients and honoring of. And that's what food for him was. So he always used to joke around and say, I elevated your taste buds. And he was so right on, because right along with him, I became a foodie snoot. And I got used to having all of the most amazing food. And most of the time, it was by desire of having him cook it, because the places that we were going to, a lot of times it couldn't like level up to the amazingness coming out of what he was creating. Don't get me wrong, I'm a foodie, so there's a lot of amazing places that we also did definitely enjoy as well, like mom and pop, special little joints. But I'm going through secondary loss in the form of there's a loss of our intimacy and just day-to-day activity of cooking and being in the kitchen all the time. And I was sous chefing with him, so like there was a lot of our interaction and bonding and loving about like how our day went and just shooting the shit while we're standing in the kitchen and cooking these homemade meals, which are pretty time consuming. So daggers. It just was so sad for me. And luckily, I had so many gifts with a freezer full of stuff that he had prepared. And so you see me going through the freezer and I'm kind of emotional, and I see his crab dinner in there. It was a king crab dinner for his birthday, which he was not here for. So that was emotional too. And then I just go on to talk about more different special food items in the kitchen. So I cut a portion of that out, and the end of it is just me talking about this needs to be recorded. So there will be some transitions, but here is the video.
So I was just upstairs and I ended up having a sad spasm, and I wanted to come down here and get my phone and here, can we see me? Let's see, can you see me? Yep, that's me. It's weird to think like, one day I will smile. And I will not feel all of this puffiness from all of this crying. I wanted to get my phone because I think like there's a lot of weird, raw things that happen when someone deals with a suicide of their world. And I don't know if it's documented. It certainly probably is, I'm sure, but maybe video wise, because it's just so, it's so debilitating, that I'm continually surprised at how stuck I am. I still right now have pulled pork that he made. In my freezer. It's gonna be like a wonderful gift. It's gonna be a wonderful gift when I'm a lot more healthy. But it has lime and garlic and onion and it's so delicious. Right here. We have all these cheese rinds. We're making like a bolognese sauce, which we do in the winter, and then this is his 15 bean stew. He usually makes it like once or twice a year, and it has chicken breast in it because I love it. Chicken chunks and stuff, and this is the That's the macaroni and cheese that He made me. I think it was for Thanksgiving. It might have actually been for my birthday, though. No. I think it might have been for my birthday. And here's like mixed pumpkin and sweet potato pie filling that he made for this past Thanksgiving. And then I have a king crab dinner. That king crab was supposed to be his birthday dinner. And then he the chicken was on sale, so he packaged up a lot of different I just wouldn't say this. Mean, on a regular basis, I just go, like, did this really happen? Have I lost it? Like, is this really happening? And the answer is yes. The answer is yes, then it's pretty crazy. I think that's about everything for right now. I just need to make sure I carry my phone on me because there's a ton of raw moments where I'm saying like defining things that are pivoting me into the next layer of this healing and understanding, and I want it to be recorded. All right. I will be back soon.
Right, so that was today's video, and I'm gonna go right into the next page in my tribute of our love, celebrating our love book. This one is a cute picture of Jason and his grandfather. Jay in his 20s with his gramps and grandma. I will share the picture with his grandma on episode 6. Jay Tidbit. His favorite way to eat fried foods are as crisp as possible, especially with his fish, just like his grandma Pearl. He'd fillet it as thin as possible if we were frying. Loves to have that lemon wedge on the plate too. That was kind of just like a silly little story, which you'll hear that I have a lot of them, but they were also, it's one of those stories that I did not want to forget that he loved fried fish and he made it so crispy and amazing, and that he always had to have a lemon on the plate. It was like a special little thing that if there was no lemon wedges, and I don't know about no fried fish, like they went hand in hand. So it's kind of a sweet, sweet little thing to have as a memory. And then for today's quote, it is. I love it too. It says, a disco ball is hundreds of pieces of broken glass put together to make a magical ball of light. You aren't broken. You are a disco ball. Shine bright, you magical ball of light. I just love that quote. I used to have a thing with anything being broken, and I definitely felt like I shattered. And so the way I look at broken now is completely different. And I really embrace that I was broken as part of my journey and not something that I need to fix or wanted to get back to a place where I wasn't broken. Not that I am coming from a place where I'm like, oh, I'm broken, but I'm coming from a place of like, wow, I'm beautifully broken. And that is a part of my story. And all of these amazing pieces that I've put together are part of this amazingly beautiful tapestry of my life. And they're all intricate and deep and have all of these stories and richness to them coming from that perspective. So I like the last part where it's like, shine bright, you magical ball of light. So I hope that you can take that with you for the end of today's podcast and know that even though being on this journey comes with a lot of heaviness, a lot of darkness, a lot of confusion on just the sheer navigation of it all, that there is such magical beauty and brightness within you still, even if it doesn't feel like it. Yeah. So if anything that I've shared on today's podcast or my story or quote that I have shared have brought anything up and in and out of you that you would like to share with me, please share down below in the comments. And also to get notified for next episodes coming up, please click on the subscribe. Wherever you are at in your journey, I'm sending you mad love and light and so much healing as you navigate your journey. And then, of course, these big, amazing JAM hugs. May you feel loved. May you feel the moments of peace that you're surrounded by. May you be gentle with yourself. Until next time, please take good care.